The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns playing the role of Mr. Feinbaum today as he's playing hooky. Good to hang out with you for the next couple of hours. Looking forward to it. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number, plus always your calls and your tweets. We had a fun one on the Twitter account Bram's brought out a little bit earlier, so make sure you get interactive with us on that. All right. Not a whole lot of headlines as we move past SEC and Big Ten media days, but this one came out today. Kirk Ferentz, who's been at Iowa since 1874, says college football is in a really precarious place and requires one stabilizing voice. Well, can't necessarily disagree with Kirk says at that aspect of it. We've talked a little bit about, hey, what are the rules right now? Who is in charge? Doesn't feel like the NCAA is at that place. And in fact, our own Lane Kiffin out there at Ole Miss had this to say on First Take about it.
We have collective groups, donors, you know, at places paying players and picking the players to come supposedly without in communication with the coaches. So how would that system work in professional sports like the NFL? Everybody has a different cap, and the coaches and the general managers aren't picking and choosing how they divide that cap for the players. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But from the beginning of this thing, if you understood and you looked at it, you could see these problems coming. I've said it. You basically have now legalized cheating. I said that, I think, the first week that, you know, this came out. So we are where we are.
We are where we are. Now, listen, this is nothing that's new that Lane Kiffin has talked about. And in fact, he's been brought that part up here on this show, over at Media Days, on his Twitter account over the last couple of months. And we kind of knew this way was coming. That's why when a couple of years ago that out in California, they had said, you know what, I think the players should get paid some type of money for name, image, or likeness. They said, this is a great idea. Why don't we table this to 2023? We'll try to work out what's fair, what works, how does it work within the NCAA guidelines. And guess what? There were states, including ours here in this footprint, most specifically the state of Florida, that said, no, we're not waiting until 2023. We need to do it right here, right now. Well, guess what? It's right here, right now. Nobody knows what the rules are. What you can do in this state is different than that state. The NCAA is an absolute dumpster fire right now, and it's caused even more conference realignment. But just another day in college athletics, as long as you're still calling it college athletics. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's take a look at our illustrious group of guests today. Oh, my favorite, Adam Rittenberg. Who ripped me a couple days ago for me going after the Big Ten a little bit. He's over at Big Ten Media Days. I'm going to allow him to come back and respond or to our little tiff. Brett McMurphy, one of my favorites, joins us over at 4 p.m. Amanda Kristovich for Front Office Sports has some great insight of what's going on in the world of college athletics. And then Matt Hayes, my goodness, the blowtorch he took to the Big Ten leadership in his latest article over on Saturday Down South was a great one to read, and we'll be joining with him over here in, what, hour number three? And then how about some bounce-back teams? Nick Bromberg of Yahoo Sports going to join us at 6 p.m. to kick off our final hour. Let's get right to the phone calls. Let's go. Terry is in Georgia. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Terry?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, sir.
I'm glad to start off the show because I love it when y'all take callers. How do you feel about going to a 16-team format, which I hear is now what's been talked about?
Yeah, Terry, it's funny because I came in with the guys today and I was like, all right, what's everybody talking about? I've been on vacation a little bit. And they're like, well, you know, there is some talk about 16-team playoff. And I kind of thought they were joking at some point. But no, you know, I mean, obviously Kevin Warren has talked about it and some other guys. Barry Alvarez was quoted about saying, well, we've seen 16. In fact, even Greg Sankey has said, well, there's been some talk about 16. And the more and more I looked at that going, why are we trying to have 16 teams in the college football playoff? It doesn't make sense to me. Now, when I look at 12, I'm a full believer, and I change. I was always, hey, keep it at four.
I think that model will still be in play as well.
Well, I think the model of what we had of 12-team playoff that Commissioner Sankey and others had pretty much agreed on before everybody got cold feet, and how's that working out for the Pac-12 and the other conferences, I digress. But what had happened is that they were going to say the top six conference finishers, and then you would have six auto bids, right? So you'd have 12 teams. The top four would get a bye. When you go to 16, and this is our great buddy Jabari Jordan who came up with this concept, and so I'm going to totally steal it on air, but giving me a little bit of credit for it. He talked about last year's SEC championship game. If there's nothing on the line, okay, whether it's seeding, does it still mean the same? Yeah, you're going to win the conference championship, which is an unbelievable a trophy. It's an unbelievable experience. You get a ring. You'll always know who won the SEC championship.
And it might make another round of games. You might have to play another extra game.
Well, and that's
how many games is safe?
Terry, thank you for the phone call, and I'm glad you brought up that point. Because if you're Alabama and Georgia last year, if you moved it to a 16-team playoff, all you're doing is play another game, right? Yes, you play the championship game. Makes a whole lot of money, but that's one more chance you get injured. All of this stuff. Remember, that's the ACC and how much they cared about, you know, the player safety, and now everybody wants extra games. But at least if there's 12, there's a carrot, right? The top four teams will get a bye. And so there is something to play for outside of your conference championship is because you want one of those byes. You don't want to have to play in week one. So for me, I look at this and go, stop changing everything. Do a 12-team college football playoff. Now, it used to be the top six conferences would have a bid. Stop that, because there's not six conferences that matter with all the realignment now. Just say we're going to do the top four conferences. Whoever finishes the top four in the rankings, and if you're in a conference, you get one of those top four spots, and there's eight at-large bids. You do that, there's more access. There's an onus for the top teams to continue playing because they want to buy, and you get more access for everybody. I don't know who says no to that, but then again, I'm not a very smart person. Let's go. Tom is in Virginia. What's up, Tom?
Hello, sir. I wish I had a whiteboard. I'll be real quick. I think when you look at expansion and the Big Ten, I think what's shaping up is you got to look at the nexus of the Rose Bowl, which was basically an AAU East-West championship game. Mm. So I think the Big Ten is ultimately going to go 24 and take the nine AAU Pac-10 schools currently, or Pac-12, I'm sorry, and bridge them with Kansas and Nebraska. And then their East is going to be the original Big Ten, Rutgers and Penn State. So with that said, to me, I went to Maryland, and I see Maryland as more of a spare part in the Big Ten, but I also see Missouri as the same in the SEC. And I was wondering what you think of a Missouri-Maryland swap between those two conferences, because I think the SEC's only direction is along the Eastern Seaboard. Ultimately, it's going to be North Carolina, Miami, and Virginia Tech, in my opinion. And I think Maryland kind of fits in, because they're front doors to the South. Missouri, you know, you're looking at St. Louis, Chicago, their front doors to the north. So I just wondering what you might think of that.
Yeah, Tom, I hear what you're saying, but again, at that point, if I'm Missouri, there's no way in hell I'm moving away from that. I don't want a part of that deal. I'm part of the best conference in all of sports right now, not only just for football, but in a lot of other athletic programs as well, too. And yes, it might mean a couple of extra dollars, but at least you know this conference. You've put your recruiting pipeline throughout this spot right now. Regarding the idea, and everyone keeps talking about this, including Kevin Warren going, you know, we're looking at expansion and all these rumors and stuff about who's going to be joining them, whether it's going to be Cal and Stanford. Does it matter? When I ask that question, I'm being serious. Like, does it matter? Is it going to get you a couple of extra dollars? Yeah, there's no doubt about it, right? USC, UCLA is going to make that television deal a whole lot more. But think about this. There's been one team in the Big Ten that's won a national championship in the last 24 years. One team. One team has carried the weight. That's Ohio State, okay? And so you're adding teams, but by adding UCLA, are you adding a football power? Absolutely not. By all of a sudden you're adding Stanford, you're adding a football power? No. Are you adding Cal? Like, so to me, this seems all about posturing that Kevin Warren seems to be looking at this going, well, we're looking at this, we're targeting this and that. You can target whoever you want. The problem is you're a one conference team at this point. To last almost, what, two decades now? You're talking about the last, what, 15 seasons, and you've had one different team win it? That was Ohio State. It was 1997, I think, Michigan shared a title. That was the last time a team in the Big Ten not named Ohio State won. So you can keep adding all of these television markets, everything you want. The question is, are you catching up with the SEC? I don't think you are. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Always agree to disagree with my next friend and buddy coming up. Adam Rittenberg joins us for Big Ten Media Days next on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. You can always give us a call. 855-242-PAUL. I see Lee, Charles, AC, Austin, Disco, Donnie, and Gabe from San Antonio all on hold. We'll get to your phone calls in a little bit, but I wanted to talk to my buddy Adam Rittenberg. And I say my good buddy because I actually was asked earlier today, they're like, is this like some Biggie Tupac Big Ten SEC beef between me and Adam? And I'd like to probably, you know, tell you the truth here. It absolutely is. I can't stand Adam Rittenberg, and I just wanted to have him on the Feinbaum Show today. Hi, Adam. Arch enemy.
Hello, Peter. I guess we have to do this, so let's get it going. No, we actually do like each other. We have some disagreements at times over the SEC, and I call it some fragility in the South over its greatness, but always great to talk with you here at Big Ten Media Days, where things are kind of wrapping up on day two. Fun to interact with all the coaches and players here in Indianapolis.
That's right. You know, for you guys, and it was so funny, I asked earlier before you came on air, I'm like, who spoke today? And you rattled off seven different teams. I forgot. Oh, I actually forgot, like, y'all do it over two different days, or the Big Ten does, rather. What's been the biggest piece of news that came out today from any of the coaches that kind of were like, let me dig into this a little more?
You know, we just spoke with Penn State coach James Franklin, and he addressed the alignment that he feels Penn State has now with their athletic director, Pat Kraft. They hired a new president. He reminded us that, you know, when he was hired at Penn State in January 2014, it was an interim athletic director. It was an interim president. They were still reeling from the Jerry Sandusky scandal, and in many ways, they've been kind of responding to that ever since instead of moving forward fully with the commitment to try to win championships. And he feels like with this athletic director, this president, the way that they've committed to football, and he just signed that 10-year contract, as you know, back in November, they're going to be well positioned going forward to challenge Ohio State, to challenge Michigan, to get back on this field where they won the Big Ten championship in 2016, but haven't quite reached that point since and really have fallen off the last two seasons.
Yeah, and you look at that earlier today. The only thing, I like James Franklin. I did see him say he thinks he has the best tight end room in the country, and I'm like, I think the Georgia Bulldogs might have a little something to say about that. Moving forward, Adam, when you look at Kevin Warren, his statements yesterday, how well were they received as far as for those in attendance? And, you know, after that, everybody goes to happy hour and kind of speaks about it. What was the scuttlebutt?
You know, PB, I think it was positive. This was Kevin Warren showing his value as a bold leader of the Big Ten. You're trying to match, you know, kind of what the SEC has done, Greg Sankey. They're different personalities, very different people. But I think the way he spoke about even future expansion, the media rights deal that's coming up, it should be finalized here in the next 2 weeks or so, you know, wanting to distance himself from the bureaucracy that in his mind has held back college athletics. And in talking to some of the coaches, said that he honestly had some issues with Kevin Warren, at least in how he handled the COVID year in 2020. Ryan Day telling me that there's some juice in the league now. He understands Kevin's transition and feels that he's leading from a place of power and confidence and comfort that maybe hasn't been there in the past. And so I think we're starting to see, you know, why the Big Ten hired Kevin Warren. That was a bit of a mystery for a lot of people in the first couple of years. His background in business, his background in law, this media agreement that's going to be coming up, obviously the additions of USC and UCLA. So I think it was a good public-facing day for Kevin Warren on Tuesday.
How much of the trust has been rebuilt? And we go back and look at that, Adam. You know, during the pandemic, they all had conference calls saying, we're all in this together, we're not going to make any decisions unless we agree. And then, boom, he hangs up the phone and then decides pretty much on his own with the Pac-12, we're not playing football. Obviously, that didn't work out well for him. And even the trust that was lost when he was part of the alliance and they didn't have a written deal and they looked each other in the eye and that fell apart. Like, has there been fallout about that?
I think that has been rebuilt, to use your word. I think that, you know, the coaches understand now, in talking to their athletic directors, who I think have a better relationship with Kevin Warren, that he took over at such a difficult time, an unprecedented time for a conference commissioner, and that I think in rebuilding some of those relationships with the ADs, I think the coaches have fallen in line as well, and they believe in him going forward now in a way that I know they didn't after the issues in 2020, and even in 2021, in talking to some of the coaches in the league, there was more of a wait-and-see approach. What are we going to get from this guy? How is he going to lead going forward? How is he going to respond to the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma? I think the alliance left some people scratching their heads in this conference. I think by adding USC and UCLA, it was a bold move, a move that certainly damages the Pac-12, but one that strengthens the Big Ten going forward, putting the league in Los Angeles along with Chicago and New York, having a coast-to-coast conference. And so I think that trust is in a much better place now than it was certainly in 2020 and even in 2021, when there was just still a little bit of, I need to see something from this guy to restore my faith in him leading the conference.
Adam, one of my favorite books growing up was Choose Your Own Adventure books. I don't know if you remember those, but those were awesome growing up, where you'd be like, hey, I'm in a bear in a cave, or I found a treasure, right? So I'm going to have a Choose Your Own Adventure question here. What intrigues you more? The idea in reports that they want to expand, including Cal, Stanford, and some of these other teams, or 16-team playoff, which has been kind of murmured this week over at Big Ten Media Days. Choose your own adventure.
Well, I think it's always going to be further realignment, because that's the topic that fascinates us to no end in college football, whether it's media, whether it's fans, even coaches and players here. We're talking a lot about that recently. But I don't think there's going to be anything immediate for the Big Ten. The media rights agreement is the first item. It's been on the front burner for a number of months now. Thought it was going to be finalized in June. We're sitting here at the end of July. Still no announcement just yet. And I don't sense that there's going to be another round of realignment immediately after that, but it's something to monitor, because at that point the numbers will be out and you'll get to see how much these schools will be getting from a yearly basis from the Big Ten. That's going to pique the interest of schools in the Pac-12. It's going to pique the interest of schools everywhere else, as a couple of coaches said. If you're not in the SEC or the Big Ten, you want to be a part of those leagues, and there's going to be some important information coming out with this media rights package that's going to attract attention from everywhere. So again, I don't think it's going to happen immediately, but the realignment door is certainly not closed, as Kevin Warren said on Tuesday.
How much of it does it matter? And I said that before you join us a little bit more, because you and I and our kind of tweet exchange was about, hey, wait a minute, there's been one team, Ohio State, that's won a national championship in what, since 1998 or 1997 when Michigan did it. You know, in the adding of these teams, can they really take that next jump, or is it just a monetary jump for the conference?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Well, I think you look at USC and the mess that's been around that program now, PB, for more than a decade in terms of leadership, athletic directors, coaches, problems with their roster, problems with their university. And now you have Lincoln Riley in place, and you have Mike Bone, the man who hired him, who's a veteran athletic director and more respected around the country. If USC can't start competing for the playoff, for national titles in the next 3 or 4 years, I think we'll all be surprised. So that's another school that's coming into this conference in 2024 that should have a chance to compete nationally. Michigan made the playoff last year. Obviously didn't perform well on that stage against Georgia, but they've been recruiting well. They have that reference point, as Jim Harbaugh told me and others yesterday, that they've done this now. They can get back to that stage. We'll see about Penn State. We'll see about Michigan State with Mel Tucker. He's recruiting at a level Michigan State hasn't really been at before. He comes from programs that have competed for national championships, whether it's Alabama or Georgia or LSU or Ohio State or being in the NFL. So Mel wants to get to that level. The difference in the SEC, as you and I have talked about over the years, there's more programs that are capable of rising to that level. There's programs that are there every year, Alabama, Georgia, LSU to a degree, but you have Texas A&M, you have Auburn that's won a national championship, Florida that's won a national championship in the BCS era. So there's just more of those that have that the possibility of rising up. The Big Ten needs to populate its elite tier like the SEC has.
Very well said. Adam, last question for you. It feels like it's Georgia and Alabama in this conference shocking coming into this season. Is it Ohio State and everybody else, or is there a true contender out there?
Well, it's funny, PB. I mean, Michigan won this league last year. They returned their quarterback. They returned a really good core of receivers. They returned several players from the offensive line that won the Joe Moore Award as the nation's best. And it's like we've all defaulted to Ohio State. Well, they're the only ones who can win. They're the only ones who can get to the playoff. I wouldn't count out Michigan, even though they have to replace two outstanding defensive linemen, another first-round pick in the secondary. And then we'll see. You know, can Michigan State build off the momentum it had at the end of last year? What about Penn State? They've always shown the talent level to compete more for Big Ten championships. But certainly the conversation starts with Ohio State in this conference, and it'd be very surprising if they're not on this field on the first Saturday of December celebrating a Big Ten championship.
I know you will be out there, and you do a great job covering the conference. Adam Rittenberg, we will spar social media-wise here in a little bit more later today, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, pal. See ya. Adam Rittenberg, one of the best. We give each other a little bit of hell because we actually like each other. At Peter Burns, ESPN, you can yell at me there. Or on the phone, Lee, AC, Austin, Disco, Donnie, and Gabe. Your phone calls coming up next. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Paul Feinbaum, follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. As always, give us a call. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio. We were just talking about the Buckeyes. Austin, what's happening, man?
What's going on, man?
What's going on? I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit today about the NIL and how that's going to affect college football.
Okay.
So, I guess in my view of things, if you take a college like Texas, where you've got a huge population of alumni, that can offer kids NIL deals with tons of money. And then you look at a smaller school, maybe like from Ohio, maybe like Ohio University, where there's not as many and they can't get as many recruits. So what are your opinions on how that's going to change things?
Well, so Austin, I'll throw it back to you and go, all right, is there a there's a difference right now with no NIL, right? I mean, there's a difference between the level that the Buckeyes play and the Bobcats play. I think that's fair to say. You see it every single day.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Right.
So I look at this and go, well, wait a minute. Maybe is there really going to be any difference? Like, is Ohio State going to be a contender with NIL deals? Yeah, probably. Are they going to distance themselves from Ohio? I don't know how they're not already distanced whatsoever. So in a way, if a kid grew up and wanted to play football for the Ohio Bobcats but wasn't good enough for Ohio State, then he has an opportunity to cash in. So I think we make a big deal out of it, but I don't believe necessarily that it widens that gap that much more for those two caliber teams that already have a huge wide gap over the last century.
Right. But then I guess if you look at it in the sense of bigger teams that played a much higher level of football, like Alabama or Ohio State, mm-hmm. then you look at there's only going to be a few teams eventually, in my opinion, that are going to be giving kids so much money that they're going to have the best recruits every single year. And it's just going to be a process because they have the money to do it and other colleges don't.
But Austin, thank you for the phone call. But I bring this up, right? I look at this right now. University of Texas hasn't been good for, gosh, it feels Texas has not been back for, what, two decades since Vince Young, won a national championship in the Rose Bowl. They haven't been great. Well, guess what? They're starting to make a run. Miami right now, I'm hearing more buzz out of Miami and the recruiting that they're doing, okay? Nebraska, all of a sudden, can they get back? How about Tennessee? You know, I think that right now, if you look at it, if there is no NIL, there is already that uber elite, you know, of six teams maybe that have separated themselves from everybody. But if all of a sudden, if Penn State can get involved, if USC gets involved with NIL, and all of a sudden Florida State gets it going, does that raise the boat? Because these are huge universities with huge brands and huge loyalty. At this point, maybe this does create a little bit more parity. There's sure as hell not a whole lot of parity right now because the top teams have already pulled themselves away from everybody else. That's one of the things I'm intrigued about kind of going forward. Disco Donnie is in Arkansas. What's up, man?
Hi, Peter. I'm a big fan of Paul's show.
Thank you, man. And I appreciate it. Always a blast when I get to do this.
I want to ask two questions. I want to ask how you think the Razorbacks going to fare this year.
Okay.
And then I want to ask how many teams you think is going to come to the SEC? I know Texas and Oklahoma is coming, but who else is going to come?
Thank you, Disco Donnie. Let's start backwards, and we'll start with the first one. As far as the Arkansas Razorbacks, they go as far as KJ Jefferson goes. And I still don't know, without Treylon Burks, that was the big question mark coming in for media days that I don't necessarily know that was answered about who's going to be catching the ball from him. I know the vibe is good. I know guys like, you know, the fact that you keep Barry Odom and Kendall Briles on that coaching staff tells you exactly kind of the mentality of that team. People want to be there. You know, people are going after Kendall Briles. People are going after Barry Odom, and they want to play, you know, and coach football in Fayetteville. So the vibe is good, but the whole season relies on KJ Jefferson, who I think, along with Spencer Rattler, they're two of the top five most important players in all of college football, not just the SEC. On the flip side of it, as far as how many teams are going to be joining the SEC and who's next, I don't think we're going to have any movement for a long time. Now, of course, you can go ahead and clip this, and I'll probably be wrong in 6 weeks from now. But what's the value? There's only teams that I look at that to me, as just a fan, not as a media member, but as a fan, that would excite me as an SEC fan, probably Clemson, probably Florida State, maybe Virginia Tech, maybe Miami. All of those schools are locked into deals with the ACC with their grant of rights until 2036. So right now you have a really tight, compact, really good group of 16. And let all these other conferences try to add 20 or 24. Just because you're adding quantity doesn't mean quality. And for the SEC right now, the only quality teams I would look at probably reside in the ACC. And right now they're hands off because of an ironclad television agreement that they have. Hotline we go with I-Man. Hello, sir.
Peter Burns. How are you today?
I'm doing great now that you called in, my man.
You know, I'm just sitting back listening to all this Big Ten stuff and the expansions. You know, I don't care if the Big Ten expands to 45 teams and the SEC stays at 16. All day long, the SEC is more competitive conference than the Big Ten could ever imagine being. And even with UCLA and USC, I think Texas and Oklahoma bring absolutely more competition level to the group of the SEC. And let's look at the top 25, for instance. Right now, what do we got, 8 or 9 SEC teams? And, yeah. And the problem is year in, year out, the SEC is ranked early because that's what the voters think of the teams. Is that correct?
That's fair, and it comes to recruiting rankings, right. And it comes to the last 20 years of dominance, yes.
And then all these teams start playing each other, so the number 13 team knocks out the number 15 team, while the Big Ten's sitting there with one or two teams in the top 10 and a few scattered out randomly here and there after. And the Big Ten kind of creeps up about the middle of the season, towards the end of the season, by attrition because the SEC is beating each other up. And, you know, if the Big Ten is all of this, why don't they challenge the SEC to a game every year, regular season? The ones and the ones, twos and the twos. Hey, listen, if you can figure out a bowl game in 4 or 5 weeks and make all those preparations, you can figure out who the ones are and the twos are, and you can negotiate that game for the 3rd or 4th week of the season. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, but I also look at it going, why? I mean, listen, if they're the cream of the crop, well, we got a chance to see that, right? What happened when Michigan went and played football this year against Georgia? I mean, you know, evidently that was their, you know, that was the second best team according to the College Football Playoff, right? The team behind the Big Ten, that was their playoff contender, and Georgia was like, shoo away, JV squad.
But, you know, the Big Ten, like I said, the Big Ten can add what they want to. But all day long, I can watch Florida, LSU, Mississippi State, Arkansas. I can watch all these teams play each other. I can't watch Illinois, Northwestern, Arizona State, Samford. Give me some more of those Big Ten teams. I can only watch a few of them. You know, it's even hard to watch Penn State and Texas play because – I don't know. They just don't bring nothing to the table for me, honestly. But I can watch Ohio State. I've always liked USC. But you know what? USC has sucked since Lion, Cheat, and Pete Carroll left and took Reggie Bush's Kardashian Heisman Trophy with him. Peter Burns. Have a great day.
Never a dull moment when I-Man calls. Listen, it's a fun conference because guess what? When it comes down to dollars and cents, the Big Ten, you know, is right there with the SEC. In fact, their television deal is probably going to be a little bit bigger because they're the first to market. But what has it got them? I ask that question, not being facetious or trying to make a point. I just look at this and go, what have you got with all that money? You've gotten one team that's won a title in the last 24 seasons, okay? That's Ohio State. So where does that money go? In fact, you can argue that the ACC, who is miles behind the Big Ten when it comes to revenue, they've at least had two national championship winners in that same time frame. So that makes them about 4 or 5 times more impressive what the ACC has done as far as winning a title than the Big Ten.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
855-242-PAUL is the phone number. More of your phone calls coming up next. Hit me up on Twitter @PeterBurnsESPN. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show.
listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
All right, always having some fun when Brams takes over Paul Feinbaum's account for just a little bit and says, what's the one new feature you absolutely need to see with the NCAA football video game relaunches next year? Matt Brown, Extra Points, has been great giving us info about that. Lance says, how about an expanded football playoff? If we can't get this in real life, at least give us this in a video game. I think when you start a season, you should decide how big is your playoff. You decide that. Every player has a happiness meter. This comes from Arthur. Depending on his recruiting ranking, entry expectation, current level of play and style, have to manage the roster to keep players happy and on the roster, keep the coach promises to manage recruiting and expectations. The transfer portal will be absolutely, that's going to be a part of the new video game. And one more tweet, John Hayes, how about Feinbaum mode is when the angry fan audio plays instead of the music when you lose. Paul, how about John Hayes? Love my man. Always a good member here of the former Feinbaum family, doing great work over The Athletic. Peter Burns here, sitting in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. A couple more of your phone calls here this hour. Andre is in Atlanta. What's up, Andre?
Hey, good to talk to you again. Where are you from? Are you from Port Allen? Where are you from over across that river?
Across the river? Yeah, I used to go to the River Queen growing up. So, yeah, my parents went to Port Allen High. They were Pelicans. I went to Holy Family. So, yeah, I'm from Port Allen, Louisiana, my friend.
I used to live in Denham. But look, man, you know what? You were talking like you had good sense until you brought Nebraska into the conversation. Nobody takes Nebraska seriously. You know, this is big boy ball. Nebraska's something from the 80s and the early 90s. But nobody takes Nebraska serious. This thing is about recruiting and talent. Now, the Big Ten can add whoever they want. They can get as many eyes on the television as they want, but that ain't going to change the line of scrimmage. The SEC is a line of scrimmage league. If you don't believe me, go look at the NFL. There are more players on the defensive line from the NFL than any other conference, and it's not even close. And then it's followed up by the ACC. So they can add as many media markets as they want. That's not going to change what happens between the hash marks. So, but please, man, don't put Nebraska in there. Not as a serious conversation for college football.
So
it's just no
Andre,
way.
Andre, the reason why I bring them up is the first thing I look for is what passionate fan bases are going to get behind NIL, whether it's collective or whatever's allowed in those states, right? Because, listen, like, you know, when a Miami football is good, it's good for the sport of college football. When USC is good, it's good for the sport of football. I'd love Nebraska to be good. But here's the one thing, too, Andre. Nebraska is a very good case study of what happens when you take the money to go to a conference, right? Nebraska had they had a lot of success in the Big 12. And when they rolled and took that check for the Big 10, what has happened? Nothing.
Let me ask you a question. They asked the great Jeremy Shockey. They say, you're from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. How did you end up down in Miami? He said, you know what? He went to a recruiting trip in January, and it was freezing in the Midwest, and he went down to Miami, and girls were going to class in bikinis. Yep. So now, if you got a choice and the NILs are the same, are you going to go to the sunny south, or are you going to go up there to Nebraska? Now, you make the choice, Peter Burns.
Andre, it's easy. Thank you for the phone call, buddy. And you're right. You are dead on right. That conversation before NIL was easy. Why the hell would I want to go play in Lincoln, Nebraska? I mean, these kids are 18, 19 years old. Do they even know who Eric Crouch was? Do they know who Tommy Frazier was and how great he was? Lawrence Phillips, when he was rolling and not in trouble, how great those team were, the great Todd Osborne? They don't know. They don't care. But with name, image, and likeness, perhaps they do. Perhaps they say, you know what, I'd much rather go down to the South and play at Georgia or Florida or LSU or A&M or Bama or Auburn, all these other schools, because, man, it's great. It's football. It's the best fans, all of it. But then again, if name, image, and likeness, I got an opportunity to do something in a state of Nebraska, I might be more willing to stay, at least for year one until I transfer out. So there is some opportunities for those programs that have a lot of tradition to get back into that college football conversation, which they're not right now. Gabe is in San Antonio. Gabe, you got 60 seconds for me, man. What's up in the 210?
Hey, Peter, what's going on? I was up in Austin yesterday and heard the radio guys discussing a possible schedule scenario for SEC where every team would play their top two or three rivals every year, mm-hmm. and then you play every single team home and home in a span of 4 years. It's a pretty cool scenario. It looks like it would work. My question to you is, like, do you think, you know, the people that make the schedules, are they going to put an emphasis on keeping the rivalries played every single year, or are they going to be good with, like, just every 2 or 3 years? That was my first question. And off topic, I heard another guy talk about, he posed a question, if Quinn Ewers wins back-to-back the next two Big 12 championships, you know, before we go to SEC, and they go to the playoff maybe one or both years, what happens to Arch Manning's situation then?
Well, Gabe, real quick, because we got to go. What I do believe, and I don't know this on inside information, on the outside looking in, if I'm Arch Manning, I'm in no rush to play, right? You take your time, you redshirt, you don't play a whole heck of a lot. As far as rivalries, if it's 1 year or 2 years, it works out good. Ryder Cups every 2 years, we love that, right? Brett McMurphy joins us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.